Let's turn now to a war that doesn't get much attention here in the U.S., the war in Yemen. In Switzerland last week, the warring parties agreed to a renewable ceasefire, but that has not stopped the fighting. A quick recap of who the warring parties are. On one side, the group known as the Houthis and their military ally, the former dictator of Yemen, Ali Abdullah Saleh. On the other side, the Yemeni president the Houthis toppled, Abdu Rabu Mansur Hadi, not to mention the combined air power of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, and they're supported by the U.S. and the U.K. More than 6,000 people have died since the war began, half of them civilians, and most of them were casualties from airstrikes by the Saudi-led coalition. Reporter Iona Craig has traveled to Yemen since the war got bigger back in March and has spent several months there. Was there just last month, Iona, I know. Bring us up to speed with these negotiations in Switzerland last week. What came out of those talks, and is a renewable ceasefire better than a regular ceasefire if neither is adhered to?
Well, yes, the idea of a ceasefire is something of a farce, really, considering the last one never took hold. To say they're now going to renew it seems slightly ridiculous if you look at what's been going on the ground. On the political front, I think the most positive thing to come out of it was the allowance of aid, humanitarian aid, into the city of Taiz, which has been under siege for many months now. When I was there, it was under siege. There was a blockade being imposed by the Houthi Saleh forces, which was preventing food getting in, fuel getting in, and most crucially, medical supplies as well. So I think that was certainly something positive. The rest of it really was just an agreement to meet again in January, and it doesn't really look on that basis that we're any closer to reaching any kind of political settlement that is actually going to end this war.
Yemen has no natural resources really to speak of, and the infrastructure, as we speak, is being destroyed. What would the winner of this war actually get?
You're going to get a country in a complete state of collapse. As you already mentioned, the infrastructure has been severely damaged, but you've also got now this huge humanitarian crisis. 21 million people are in need of some form of humanitarian aid. And on top of that, now warring factions on the ground that even if a political deal is reached, it doesn't mean the conflict is actually going to stop. So yes, I mean, what does winning look like? And if you look at Aden now, which has seen the end of conflict since end of July, beginning of August time, and there is still no state security. You've got assassinations on a regular basis. You've got criminal gangs. You've got carjackings. You've got Islamic State. You've got Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. So if that's a reflection of what the rest of the country is going to look like once the war is over, then it's not looking great at the moment.
So given the lack of encouraging news from Yemen, say you get one of your Yemeni friends on the phone, you're in London, what do you say to them?
It's hard, actually, because a lot of people want to get out. They want to get out of the country and they don't have the means to do that. They can't get the visas to do that. They can't escape when they want to, and they want to take their families and they want to get out of there. And I think my concern is how long will people be prepared to hold out as the pressure rises, as we now see the troops and fighting getting closer and closer to Sana'a, for example.
The capital.
Yes, and more people going to try to escape. And if they do, where do they go? And this all contributes to the already major issue of people trying to flee conflict in the region at the moment. And Yemen is now at that point where it's at breaking point. And it's very hard to say to people, don't leave, stay where you are. I mean, when you're sitting here comfortably at home, what reason do they have to stay when they're struggling to keep their families alive and they're facing the growing pressure now of perhaps the capital being engulfed in conflict as well? There is very little reason for them to stay in Yemen, but also it's extremely difficult for them to get out.
Journalist Iona Craig speaking with me from her home just outside London. Iona, thank you very much, as always.
My pleasure. Thank you.
What does the war in Yemen look like? Our colleagues at Global Post sent a reporter and a photographer, and their story has graphic details that support the headline, "Yemen is now the world's worst humanitarian crisis." See that now at PRI.org.